All right, you guys, welcome to another episode of the Temple of Hoop podcast. I am your co-host, Coach Maples, aka J Mapes, here as always with Kings, with his fresh cut. Kings, what is going on, my guy?
Smooth, man. Smooth.
Cool, cool, cool. Jordan, what's popping, my boy? How's it going?
It'll be better, but we here. We live to see another day.
Jordan had a rough day, betting wise, but you know, that's what happens when you're a degenerate. You know, the lows are low. NBA playoffs in full swing, series going down. Let's start off Bay to LA, man. So since we recorded, there have been two Laker-Warrior games. Lakers, of course, went up 1-0. Warriors respond with a 27-point drubbing in game two. Series moves to LA to Crypto. Lakers score 127 that time, beating, holding the Warriors 97, winning by 30. Difference in both games for me, I would say, is obviously is the disposition of one Anthony Davis. He's been up and down all series with his energy, especially offensively. He was just dominant that game. The Warriors players struggling on the road. Jermichael Green cannot duplicate what he did in game two on the road. Draymond Green, foul trouble, was not able to stay on the floor. Warriors defense was definitely affected, I'll say that. Jordan Poole continued to struggle, 2 for 9. In that game on the road, game three, just having a really bad playoff run. Klay, after going off in game two, 5 for 14 in game three. Lakers lead 2-1. Obviously, they have home court advantage now after stealing one in Chase. Just I got to get a general disposition of how you're feeling about this series. Kings, to start with you, after these two straight blowouts after game one, how are you feeling about the series as game four is set to tip off tomorrow? Huge game four.
I mean, it went pretty much how I expected. You know, Lakers were happy with winning one of the first two. You know, I said, a lot of people said before game three, a lot of crying was going to be done about the Broncos. You know, that all that talk about, oh, you know, they can't stop the threes, all this, blah, blah. We all knew game three was going to come. Lakers were going to make a concerted effort to get in the paint and force Golden State to try and stop them. And, bro, this the disingenuous hoop talk is just annoying. This is the Golden State Warriors are a bottom fouling team. They were 28 out of 30 out of fouls against one of the highest drawing free throw teams in the league in the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, they haven't stopped hacking all year. So, of course, you're going to get fouls. You know, we talk about a paint team against a three-point shooting team. Yeah, the Lakers made more threes, but the Warriors took more threes. Again, you know what I mean? The Lakers also at one of the top points in the paint teams in the league. The Warriors are towards the bottom of the league when it comes to points in the paint. The Warriors drive to kick. They don't drive to score in the paint. Like, these are concepts that matter when you're looking at free throw discrepancy. But people are just bringing up isolated talking points because they want to say, well, the Lakers have a free throw advantage. Like, that's part of the – like, this is part of the game, bro. Like, this gets said for years when you are a jump shooting team against a team who makes a concerted effort to get physical, finish through contact, finish, you know, try and finish over and to draw the foul. Like, when you play against a team like that and you're more oriented at trying to get the open jumper and hitting the open jumper – this is always going to happen. Like, this is common. This is, like, literally regular hoop. But, like, I would understand if you were the Sacramento Kings going up against the Lakers complaining about the free of refs. But you're the Golden State Warriors with Steph Curry, bro. They're not trying to harm your brand, right, by making the Lakers win. Like, come on, bro.
Right.
Like,
it's just to add to your point, the Warriors don't have one front court player in their rotation who, you know, scores in the paint or scores. That's the other. They don't have a single front court player who's a threat to score. Like, or not, I'll say Wiggins is a three. I'm talking about like a 5-4 player four yeah. or five who's a threat yeah. to score. So
a
like,
big.
So that's just to add to your point. Jordan, what are your initial thoughts about the dichotomy between game two and three? Warriors respond, defend home court in game two, but then get blown out in game three. What's your response to how those last two games went?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of gone as we expected, to be honest. Like, you know, the Lakers have done this last two series. They take game one and then they kind of just sit back and they're just happy to win game one. And it is what it is. And, you know, alternate days, Anthony Davis, you know what I mean? Like, This is the thing, though. No, all jokes aside, like this game four is a must win for the Lakers because I don't know if they can win another game in Chase Center, to be honest, because the Warriors are such a different team from home to road, which is also why I like the Lakers in games three and four, because the Warriors have been bad on the road all year long. And I think people are trying to forget that. And they keep going back, well, we won two games at Golden One Center. You
Shaq
did.
wasn't a great home team.
Yeah, they weren't. And
Yeah.
on top of that, like you went against a team that literally three of their starters gave them nothing. Right. So it's like you gotta factor that in. And the Lakers are different, dude. This is a team with that's battle tested, right? I mean, LeBron's been through it all. AD has a championship under his belt, although it was in the bubble. They're a more veteran laden team. Like they got guys that have been there, whereas the Kings didn't. So I think it's a different series. I think as far as the Warriors are concerned, like the talk about the officiating is it's just bad discourse. And even Steve Kerr came out and said, like, you know, at the end of the day, the officials didn't make us turn it over almost 20 times. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much
Yeah,
things that the Warriors need to clean up. And on top
I
of that,
think it's yeah. I mean, that's a perfect segue into the next. Just the big thing about is the officiating. My thing is when you lose by 30, the refs are not part of the equation, in my opinion. You get 30 pops, they turn the ball over. Nobody aside from Steph could generate anything off the bounce. Jordan Poole's been an absolute nightmare, all playoff run. People forget he averaged 18 a game on 50, 40, 90 shooting their playoff run last year.
21.
He's been terrible the entire playoffs. That to me is the biggest Warriors issue. Because what Jordan Poole gave them was another off the dribble threat. When, you know, playoff defense gets tough, somebody has to make a play a lot of the times. He did a lot of that last year for them. He's been just can't get anything done off the bounce this year. Can't make spot up threes, and then defensively, it's always been an uphill struggle with him. To me, that is the Warriors' biggest issue. For me, they're getting nothing from their second best ball handler or decision maker with the ball or whatever. Like Draymond's a decision maker, but as far as a guy creating off the bounce, he's their second best guy, and he's giving them nothing. So I think that's the biggest issue for the Warriors. But the fouling thing, it's annoying. Like all the stuff Kings brought up. They have no front court, no big interior presence. The Lakers do. They have two great post-up players in AD and LeBron James. Dennis drives a score. Rui drives a score. D'Lo can even drive the score when he wants to. Austin Reeves drives a score. The Lakers have just a gang of players who know how to get to the cup and put the defense at a disadvantage with a scoring move and not just the
Thank you.
pass.
That's the key,
And I
the
think
score.
that, you know, that is the variable that's being overlooked. People just reading the numbers, not looking at the roster makeup. And I think that's being disingenuous because they don't want to cope with what they're seeing. Clay's been inconsistent. He was off game one, very good game two, very off game three. He had six turnovers in game three. Six.
One other
Zero.
thing too that I want to add, the Warriors shot almost 55% in games one and two from three. And yesterday they shot 30%. I mean, that's a huge discrepancy, right?
That's called regression to the mean, baby.
Exactly. So it's like you couldn't expect them to continue doing that.
And that was my issue when they won game one, when the Lakers won game one and the Warriors had a great shooting night and lost. Like when you if you make 23s and lose, whether you do it again and win in game two, even though we know that the Lakers obviously conceded game two because
They
they're
got
gonna
the
rest. They got the split. Like, you basically had to make 20 plus threes to win. You made 20 plus threes and you lost. You shot more to a poor night and you got blown out. So what happens if you just have a decent shooting night? Because at this point, you've shown you can lose in a great shooting night. If you have a decent, average, or bad shooting night, can people trust you as a team to come out with that win on the road? Like, I don't know. I don't think you can. I don't think you can. But
Yeah.
they're more than capable of making 23s again. Like, I'm not going to say they're not, but it's like, you know what I mean? That's basically what they have to do to win.
Yep.
I think the adjustment they made, and just get into the adjustments. I think after the first half of game three, they made a noted effort to hedge a little harder on the screens. There
Man,
was
I
a
mean,
lot of drop, like AD was showing a lot higher in the second half of
yeah,
that game
it
and
was a high
make it
show.
make the threes were a lot less cleaner. And he's such a special defender. He can hedge hard and keep those guards in front of him.
And
A lot
recover.
of bigs cannot do that. He's a once in a lifetime defender. So, you know, that may be unique to the Lakers, that capability. Another
Also,
thing is,
so frustrating game two as well, because AD just like he just lacked all energy on either side of the floor.
I will say this. I said after game one, I'm not sure you can play him a whole half and expect something in the next game.
But that's crazy.
No.
You can say that. You can say, you can make the well, he should be able to, but I'm just saying that's the facts, bro. He played the
Yeah,
whole second half.
at this point, it's definitely the facts. Like
Yeah.
we
He played
see.
the whole second half. He would just didn't have the energy in game two. He just didn't.
And this is why the Lakers should be happy game four. They blew him out game three, so they
Right,
got the spread.
exactly. The other thing I like, me and Kings mentioned this, possibly Darvin going deeper into the bench. Those guys chasing those shooters around, legs were starting to go a little bit. A lot of Lonnie Walker. He was big. He stayed ready. Came in, had some very good minutes in game three. I thought that was a great adjustment from Darvin. Also like going with Reeves on Steph. Not as much chasing and Clay around. I thought that was a pretty good adjustment. I think Darvin hit all the right buttons for the most part. This series going against a championship level coach. You understand, man. Kerr has not lost a series as a Warriors coach before the finals. So like the Lakers are gonna have to work for this one.
Yeah.
So
He's about to be
the
the
thing.
Bucks coach, though. If Jim Parks,
has his say, go ahead.
The thing with the ham adjustment too with the Reeves, it was really good because I saw it and I noted that as soon as I seen it. Just understanding what the Warriors are gonna try and do with the pick and roll, blowing that up, being able to switch it with Vando, knowing that he's gonna get Curry, putting AD on Jermichael Green, because now you have to use Jermichael Green if you want to bring AD into the play, and he's not gonna kill you on the short roll. Like you somebody said, if you give the Lakers Jermichael Green 4-on-3s, they'll take that every day of the week. Like, they're sleeping well with that. So great adjustment to that. And also Lonnie, man, the Lonnie minutes were great because Lonnie has a similar profile athletically and skill-wise to the Kings guards. So it's understanding those guys were successful against the Warriors and playing Lonnie. And Lonnie was just playing discipline on defense. I mean, wasn't shooting gaps, chasing guys, showed good on-ball chops. So if Lonnie can play, that's as a whole dynamic to the Lake, bro. The Lakers bench is just superior. Like, honestly speaking, like if the Lakers stars even tread water, like it's hard for Golden State to win, bro. Like the Lakers bench has like three guys at least who can give you a 20 at any point between Rui, Dennis, and Lonnie. Like it's not, I mean, it's yeah. It's looking bad, bro. It's looking bad unless Poole gets it together.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I also
Just
like, and just I think Darvin read the game more too. I love Vando with the things he brings, but I think Darvin's seeing that, there is an offensive issue to overlook when he's on there. So Vando only played 15 minutes, but I think that him being willing and Darvin being able to yo-yo his minutes up and down based on the need, I think that's underrated. A lot of players wouldn't embrace that. A lot of coaches wouldn't move that. So I think being able like Vando can play 11 minutes or 25 minutes and still give you the same energy. So I think that's also, having that option is good. So y'all think we're gonna get a close game finally in this series?
well, it was close
That's
game
why
one.
I said
I know, I mean like the left two straight blowouts. I'm ready for a close game. What y'all think? Tomorrow's gonna be closer. What do you guys think?
I think we finally get the close one.
I don't know, because the one thing with the Warriors is like they're such a heavy 3-point reliant team that when you're not hitting them,
Yeah, it's bad.
these things can happen, you know what I mean? And we'll see. I like the Lakers to win game four. Like I said, it's a must-win game for the Lakers. Like they have to win game four. If they lose game four, they lose the series, in my opinion.
All right, let's look at this before we move on to the next series we're going to talk about from the Warriors side. Kings, what do you think their adjustment has to be to tie this up? So Ham played his hand game one. Kerr made his adjustments with the Jermichael Green thing. Ham, game three, going deeper into the bench, changing pick and roll coverages. What's Kerr's counter to the counter to you to make this a more competitive game four?
I got two of them, two options. One, you either, but the one is risky because then you risk your bench being completely bad. You start Jordan Poole and just try to speed it up. and make it an up and down game. Two, you take Jamichael Green out and you put Kuminga in, and you apply pressure to the rim, and you put a guy who's gonna guard the interior, and he's gonna make AD work, gonna make Bron work, who's athletic, and you don't, you know what I mean? You beef up your interior with an athletic rim runner who's gonna be able to rebound, fly around, and you know, make cuts off the spacing that Klay and Thompson and Curry are providing. You know what I mean? And you know, he's gonna get open looks, and he can put on the floor and try and hit and make create offense. Like it's one of those two things, bro. Like those are the only two options I really see. Starting Jermichael Green again after what just happened and after what Ham is doing is gonna be disastrous, bro. Jermichael Green is not gonna make an adjustment off that pick and roll being on the floor and three. It's not happening.
The Kuminga thing, that's crazy. Like just a little bit off topic. It's so hard for a young player playing in a championship situation. You're trying to help them win, you're trying to prove you belong in the league, trying to get your second contract. It's just so many different variables going into it. I felt bad for Kuminga. He got a few minutes in the SAC series. They were a disaster, and then just Kerr never went back to him after that. So he's been in the doghouse since those few minutes in Sacramento. Very wild to see what's happening with him. So we'll see what happens there. Jordan, what about you? Anything that you would like to see the Warriors try to change to become more competitive or tie the series up?
I was gonna say, in response to the Kuminga thing, like the reason why he hasn't been getting minutes is because he hasn't been rebounding. So
He hasn't.
that's the issue, is why he hasn't been seeing the floor. And you know, we've talked on the show multiple times about the business of the NBA and like why it's hard to have this two timeline thing, because the young guys are out here trying to get their next contract while the old guys are trying to win a ring, right? So how do you balance those two things? I think at this point, the adjustments have been made. Each coach knows what the other coach is going to do. Now it's about the guys actually executing and performing, right? We saw with the Kings series and the Warriors series, like what flipped that series was Kayvon Looney's hustle, getting offensive rebounds, and getting extra possessions. Now it's a little more difficult doing that against Anthony Davis, right?
I think that's a great point too. Also, the way the Lakers roster is, it's hard to play Dre and Looney at the same time.
That's the main
So that's the other thing that's killing the Warriors. It's like, because that hurts their defense, because Dre and Looney have such defensive synergy together, and they lose something defensively without those guys on the court. But it's so hard to score in the Lakers when you play both of them together. There's too many
and that and
guys
that's
pressed.
that's literally what flipped the series against the Kings was the, like you said, the hustle of Looney and then the defense and the synergy of Dre and Looney together, completely just, you know, shutting off Sabonis's water. As well as cutting off, you know, like Fox had to hit a lot of floaters and a lot of floaters and a lot of mid-range jumpers. Like it was, you saw what happened to Horford. You know, I mean, he was completely nullified. Like Keegan Murray had to start hitting jumpers from the get going because there's nothing inside. Barnes had a bad series because he had to hit jumpers. But with AD and Bron, like those guys don't mind. Those guys don't mind banging. Like they see Looney and Dre, and they're like, "You guys are 6'6", 6'7", bro. Like you're not blocking, altering us." Like Dennis is super fast. He came off a series playing against Jaren Jackson Jr. He's relieved that he's seen Kevon Looney at the rim, bro. Like these guys live in the paint. So 6'7", six guys aren't moving them defensively, and then offensively, it's like, bro, we don't have to guard you. You know what I mean? Like we don't have to guard you. So it's like it's you saw in game one, bro. It's just the Warriors hit so many threes, but that issue of Kevon Looney and Dre was so problematic that the threes didn't matter because it was literally layup lines. And then if they weren't hitting threes, they weren't getting points. They weren't hitting jump shots, basically, on the other end. So, like Jordan said, I mean, what's the other adjustments? Like I said, start pool. That means your bench is trash. You know what I mean? You start Kuminga. Can Kuminga rebound? You know what I mean? What does that do for your spacing? Like, at this point, you've tried everything from a lineup perspective. It's like Jordan said, you just have to execute. What's going to win? Is the 3-point shooting or is it inside, get to the line, play style? It's a style fight at this point. Like, who's going to win out that? And who's going to show up? Is AD going to show up both ends, or is he going to get outscored by Jermichael Green again? You know what I mean? Like, that's what it comes down to at this point, man. Like, that's all it comes down to. Like,
I saw the a video snippet of Jay Williams talking about AD's production looks like an EKG meter. It's up and down
Kendrick Perkins
from
said he
game to
played like
game.
Kendrick Perkins. Yep.
One more thing about this series, real quick. Lakers destined to win because their star player, LeBron James, Bronny James, USC bound, baby.
That's not that series related. This guy's a
Let's go. Let's go.
got it. All right, let's stay out west. Other series, Phoenix, two Herculean efforts from Devin Booker, KD supporting that with great efforts of his own. Come back and tie the series up 2-2. Despite a hell of a game from Joker, 50 over 50 tonight. Suns tied up 2-2. Booker is doing some historic things offensively these first two games, the whole playoff run in general. Very absurd. Today, 14 of 18, 36 points, 12 assists, 6 rebounds. KD, 36, 11 and 6 himself, 72 points between them on 25 of 37 shots. They only missed 12 shots. I asked after game one, could they replicate that three more times? They've done it once. Can they do it two more? That's what it's going to take. They scored 36. Next guy is Shamit with 19. Nobody else cracks 10. That's very clear. Wow, they're trying to win this series. It's like, we don't have the depth. We are going to give the ball to these two guys, one of these two guys, every possession. They're going to have to create, and we're going to ride them until the wheels fall off. They've tied the series. You know what they say? It's not really as serious until somebody wins on somebody else's court. But it's 2-2 here. It's a best of three. Just what are your reaction to Phoenix tying this up? We'll start with you, Jordan, the guy who lost money on this. So you tell us what happened.
Oh my God, dude. I was so confident the Nuggets were gonna win tonight, dude. I'm not even joking. I like quadrupled down like during the game when they were down. I was like, oh, I'm taking it plus money, plus money, plus money. Nah, it did not happen. This is the thing with this series, is like Jokic, we know what we're gonna get from on a every night basis, right?
Yep.
We don't know what we're gonna get from Jamal Murray. We don't know what we're gonna get from Michael Porter Jr. We don't know what we're going to get from Aaron Gordon. We don't know what we're going to get from anybody else on that roster. What we do know about Phoenix is what we're going to get from Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. Although I don't expect the efficiency from Booker to continue. Like, it's unreal at this point. Like, what he's done the last two games is unbelievable. It's historic. We've never seen anything like this.
Amazing.
And why I like the Nuggets tonight was because I was like, dude, there's no way Booker can replicate what he did on in game three. Like, it's unbelievable. We've never seen it. And he did it.
Just real quick though, before you go on, Jordan, in the 2023 playoffs, Devin Booker 37, 5, and 7 assists, 65, 51, 87 shooting splits.
Best player in the playoffs. There's no doubt.
Absolutely.
No
Absolutely.
doubt. No
Absolutely.
doubt. No doubt. No
And it's
doubt.
crazy because like Joker's over here doing things that's never been done. And you know, I have to give my public apology to Nikola Jokic because he is definitely the best big in basketball, outside of Giannis, of course. But
That center discussion, it's just it must be tabled for now. I'll just leave it at that. Games, what have you seen the last two games in this series for the Suns to tie it up?
Man, just Booker and KD. Like I told everybody, chat, and I told people, I was like, Booker and KD, they got two in them. They got two in them. They gonna tie this up. And there's going to be 2-2. They're not going to go out like this. But, you know, especially with Chris Paul going out, you know, them two having the ball in their hands pretty much the majority of the time, they were going to put on. Like, it was just that simple. You know, role players never play good on the road, aka the Nuggets depth. It's piss poor. Y'all, hey, man, y'all got to stop with this Jamal Murray stuff, man. Y'all got to stop with this Jamal Murray stuff. He is averaging 27 in the playoffs, had another 28 plus tonight. Like,
All
he
I no
was.
no
He's
I'll
been
go ahead, finish. Go ahead, King. I'm gonna read about after. Go ahead, finish.
look. I get it. He's not always efficient. He's gonna take some bad shots, but he's providing help. They lost because MPJ no show, Aaron Gordon no show, KCP no show. If any of these guys show up in the past two games, they win one of them. Jokic and Murray did enough to win both of these games, and nobody else helped them.
Joker
And
did.
that's why they lost.
So all I say was, no, I'm with you. I'm pro Jamal Murray. All I said was in that particular game, that fourth quarter, the shots he was taking was wild. That's all I was saying. That fourth quarter.
I won't disagree.
He cost them game three,
yeah.
dude.
I also said that it's hard to be mad because we've seen him make those same shots before. That's what I said. That's all I said. But I'm pro Jamal Murray. He's definitely a deserving co-star to whatever Joker does. AG didn't get going till late. MPJ complete no show, 2 of 9 from three, a lot of them wide open. That pull up three on a break was a killer, bro. They were on a run to get back into the game, and he doesn't feel Aiden hawking him down. He takes that three instead of gets a 3-on-2. And he doesn't go to the bucket or attack the rim, takes a three that gets severely bothered by Aiden, and they come back and score off that. It's just
punt that man to Jupiter after that.
You know what? MPJ will mess around in Denver and put up 27, bro. I'm telling you.
This is the thing, dude. Jokic is probably going to get suspended next game.
I don't know.
I doubt that.
Bro, based on the bylaws of the rules, he's
bro.
Getting-
He's not getting suspended for that.
I don't see it, man.
You're talking about killing your most competitive, most intriguing second round series. I don't see it.
I also think the Suns owner is gonna be like, don't suspend him. You know what I mean? Like, he's not gonna want to be known for that type of thing.
Yeah, I can't see that. I can't see that. If they do, that would be wild.
He plays game five. The Nuggets are winning this series. The Nuggets should be absolutely disappointing themselves because they should have taken at least one of these games on the road. Now they're going back 2-2 against a team that literally they're playing like 2 versus 5. I mean, it's just like you gotta look at Michael Porter Jr. Like, Jokic didn't come out and say what Embiid did. Like, these other guys gotta show up, dude, at some point. You know, just don't like Embiid.
I switched my pick after game one. I'm still gonna stick with gonna stay with Nuggets in 7. Kings, who do you got?
I had Suns in 7, bro. So I guess I had to stick with it. I mean, it's gonna be a war. I can see it going in either side, but I'll stick with Suns in 7 just because I picked it. But yeah, it's tough, bro. I really like Devin Booker has to do like what happens when Devin Booker has an average game. I never thought I would see the day where somebody outplayed 09 playoffs LeBron, bro. I never thought I'd see the day.
Man,
crazy.
What about you? You got Nuggets in 6 or Nuggets in 7?
I got Nuggets in 6. I just, like King said, what Devin Booker is doing, like, it just can't, he can't continue the pace. It's impossible, dude.
Let me tell you something.
Especially going
KCP will chase you around some screens. But if you can move off the bounce, he's very cookable.
Yeah, it's not for sure. But it's like, Jason, he's shooting like 80%, 71% true shooting.
Well, here's my son's adjustment. I tweeted this. You have to pick and choose. You can't have booking KD go for 35, 40 apiece efficiently and then leave Landry Shamet enough open for 20 points. That's where they lost the game. Booking KD are capable of doing that. You lose Shamet for 20 points. If you're going to let them get their 35-40, let them get the 35-40. But keep everybody else at 6.
Yep. That's literally what Book said with the Jokic. The score is 50, but we're not letting
them. It's the same concept. It's like, if they're going to cook you like that, hey, tell AG, hey, every time you go match your minutes with KD, just get a hand up when he can test. Get a hand up and contest when he shoots, bro. Try not to foul. We're not sending that much help. Just live with the results. KCP, do what you can. Try to keep him out of the paint. Stay down on the pump fakes. Make them score 40 apiece, but you have to keep everybody down.
We got to give a shout out to Monty Williams because every time this man complains about officiating,
I remember I told you, I was like, it's predictable, baby. It's predictable. The next, soon as he put that out there, the next two games, been lovely.
Crazy, bro. And like, if I'm a Warriors fan, I'm looking at this like, hold up. These two guys are getting free throws on jump shots. Why are we?
Well, the thing is, the Warriors don't complain. Somebody I worked with, I know who covers them, says this because people complain about the Warriors' illegal screens all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So the minute they start complaining to the refs, that's the whistle that comes into play as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
and that's why all these, you know, Warriors people, they talk about, oh, they getting beat off ball, beat up off ball. Well, that's the trade-off for the screens, bro. You right. get to do what Kevon Looney did, literally moving guys out the way, and they going to get to touch you off ball, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's it.
And also, shout out Monty, man, going deeper into the bench, man, testing the offensive guys more. 19 T.J. Warren minutes. T. Ross, 17 minutes. I got to ask, man, DeAndre Ayton. I understand Jokic is probably the good as it gets in the center position, but are you guys a little bit surprised at the lack of resistance he's giving? And he's not even making Jokic work on the other end.
Nah,
because, right, that surprised you a little bit?
Nah, because we saw this last year. When DeAndre Ayton isn't involved offensively, he checks out.
Yep.
True. True.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like he's not doing it offensively because, you know, the ball's just not going through him. And but the way Booker and the way KD been playing, why would you go away from that? I get it. You know right. what I mean? It's like, what has DeAndre Ayton showed that you should take the ball out of Booker and, you know, KD hands? Like,
I wonder if they use Ayton and break him down into role players as a trade in the offseason. I wonder if that's
have to.
Yeah.
That's been like the, you know, the main whisper over right. there.
I hear it. Last thing before I go, Chris Paul, my suggestion was bring him off the bench when you get back. I'm not going to, you know, they say better. They play so much faster when he's not in, and it opens up the floor for KD and Book because there's less help. I think they play faster without him.
I'm not sure it's KD and Book. Honestly, I think it's the role players, like the Shamits, the Paynes, you know, the Lynn, they play better, faster. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they just play. When able to get up and down, like KD and Book are going to do what they do right. regardless of the play style, but the other guys just are so much more involved when it's fast. Like that, I think that's really the key.
Yeah, my suggestion was bring him off the bench. I don't know how the ego is working, all that basketball, you know, how the basketball politics work.
Right.
What do you guys think they do with Chris Paul? You just start him and try to go back to how it was, or
you can't do that.
How do you reintegrate him?
I'm back this series though.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
It might be Moody. Might just be back to next series. You know, I think in
the next series, though.
We'll see. Let's head out east. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit shocked about this series for several reasons. I thought Boston would make short work of Philly 5. It still has the potential to kill up, still go 6, so I don't know. But it's 2-2. Philly jumped out on Celtics early, withstood a late Celtics run. They even took the lead. I love Jaylen Brown. That was literally one of the dumbest things I've ever seen on a basketball court. You're up 2. You leave the guy who's made the 4th most three-pointers ever in NBA history to go double and beat in the post when a 2 just ties it up and gives you time to win it. Leaves a hot James Harden, mind you, who already had 40 points. Harden hits a 3.
About that play, Jason. Why did they start that play with Marcus Smart on Embiid?
I don't have no idea. Like the whole thing was whacked out to me. General Smart, man, first while I have made many a joke about James Harden's playoff foibles the last decade plus. I gotta say, man, he was terrible in games 2 and 3.
But special
winning that game without Embiid in game 1. And then today, when Embiid went through a big fourth quarter struggle against Horford, I don't know why Embiid was having a great game. All of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, just was really struggling to even get a shot off against Horford. And for them to survive that because of how great Harden was and a PJ Tucker pep talk late in the game where Embiid made a couple plays in OT, I got to give it to Harden, man. That's he's been special in 2 of these games, and they've needed the games they've needed. Now, game 5, as Reek said, what did Reek say? The Cinderella, this clock is striking 12 on the Harden playoff. He could throw it all away in game 5. He puts up a 4-for-19 with 6 turnovers, the biggest game of the season. So we'll see, but it's 2-2. I know Philly, a lot of people said Philly feels like they have a better team than Boston because of the diversity they have offensively, and Boston's really 3-dependent. How are you guys feeling about this? I was like, I thought Boston would get this done in 5 or a quick 6, or they're up 3-1. But It looks like a series now, best of three. I'll start with you, Kings. Where are you with this series, man? With three games, with best out of three here.
It's tough for Boston because in the sense that it's hard when you have you had them on the ropes. Embiid was ready to basically quit on the season, damn. And then PJ Tucker and one gets in Embiid's ear, tell him to stop being soft, basically.
I knew that's what he said, or he probably said something else.
Something along those lines. You know what I mean? Probably a lot of cussing in there, but. You know what I mean? And then you have Harden, who's notorious, you said the notorious playoff choker. He feels comfortable in the like James Harden feels comfortable in a close game with the Boston Celtics. Like that's what you've seen in the series. And if that with that said, if Embiid has one patented MVP game, they're in trouble.
Man.
They're in trouble because can they win that game? I don't think so. Because they couldn't win the James Harden games. So if MB comes and has this patented 40, 50, dominates both sides, like it's bad because they're not gonna win that game. And then James Harden has shown you he can play in a tight game with you, and they have no answer for him. So it's tough, bro, because honestly, the longer this goes, the more concerned you should be about Boston.
That's
The
where I am.
really
Yeah.
the more concerned you should be because if this wasn't quick work. Now it's like you have to trust Boston to execute with Marcus Smart, he antics, Jaylen Brown 1 foot out the door. Like if this gets
Yeah.
dicey, bro.
My thing is the longer a series goes, the more I lean toward the best player in the
The
series.
stars, yep, the
And that's
stars, bro.
the that's where it gets dicey. Jordan, where are you with this series right now, 2-2? You still comfortable with Boston pulling away, or do you think they're in a little bit of trouble, or just how do you think?
They're gonna win the next two games.
Actually.
Embiid was good, great game three, and Boston blew him out. I like
Yeah.
Boston to win this game. A little tough at the end, but there's no James Harden won't score 40 points in the next two games. I can guarantee you that.
Hey, he's at 40 twice this series.
Yeah, but then he didn't even have 40 in the other two games combined. That's a Jim Harden we all know and
Well, the
love.
thing I'm worried about is Philly is defending Jason Tatum very well.
They didn't in the second half.
Yeah, but he's having to work for everything. You know
Even
what I mean?
at the end of the games, look at it. Like people point out, look what Embiid did. They forced him to give it up to Marcus Smart. Like he gave it up twice
Right.
with Marcus Smart, the game on the line. They're playing him as best as he can. They're playing the numbers game effectively. Like it's tough, bro. If Jason Tatum's not. And it's a problem when the thing with them is, even if Jason Tatum plays well, and this is the difference between Philly having Harden and Philly having a team with Ben Simmons. When Jason Tatum goes off and Embiid is struggling and down the dumps, it's all over. They have no chance.
Right.
With Philly, when Jason Tatum goes off, there's a chance that James Harden goes for 40 points, as we've seen twice, and then that doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter if Jason Tatum gets it going because Harden's going to answer. Like, that's the difference with this Philly team right now. Harden is the X factor, like you said, Jordan. So, Reek said it. The Cinderella is over. You're saying it, Jordan. He's not going to get 40 next two games. I agree. Like, that's the logical thing. I don't disagree with that. But, bro, if you would have told me Harden had 240s against the Celtics team, I would have called you crazy.
I mean,
I would
you're
have
right,
called you
dude. Like,
crazy.
I like Boston in five because I was like, bro, there's no way James Harden can play his
There's
game one. He did tonight, but like, he did it twice, right? There's no way he does it a third time. Zero.
no way. I would assume, bro. I would
1% chance, dude. One
assume.
percent.
I'll say this: they give Embiid so much attention that Harden gets to play 1-on-1. So if he's feeling good that night, you know what I mean? I mean, they defended him well the last two games. So they. Last two games, he wasn't great. Turned the ball over a lot. More turnovers than shots made. I put the tweet out there. But yeah, so we'll see what I think. Harden is just if Harden, because they give Harden scores 25, 30, he levels the playing field with the Jays because you already have Embiid. So
Yep.
there's no drop off after the top three players in the series if Harden is his prime self.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the series becomes uber competitive. So it'll be on Harden, I think. I'm with you. It'll be on
Yeah,
Harden's performance.
I
I'm
agree.
thinking B's going to have his 30 and 12, 35 and 15, like he, you know, ho-hum, because he's the MVP. He's that guy. But if Harden matches with another 25, 30, 35, I think Boston's in trouble.
Averaging 30. I mean, and that's what we knew coming in, right? That's why we picked Boston to win
Right.
fairly early, because we were like, there's no way Harden would do that. And he's averaging 30 for the
Well,
series.
I think another thing that's going missing in this game was that Jaylen Brown picked up two quick fouls, and one of them was atrocious, dude. Like,
And Harden special.
about to say, yeah, that's
And that kind of changed the course of the game, to be honest, because that's when James Harden really started to get going. Because Jaylen Brown's been giving him trouble all series, because with the length. So,
Jaylen, let's say Jaylen Brown, great on ball, horrible off ball.
well, but the thing is like the Sixers aren't going to get those calls in game four or game five, I'm sorry, in Boston. Like they got a good whistle today.
Ooh,
And
I actually thought Boston got a lot. You got
I don't think they got
the charge. Well, I
there's a
thought
lot of
he was
stuff.
moving. They let Tatum push off and take the three.
Boston got in the bonus early in the
That's what I'm
fourth.
saying.
I think they had like three
Tatum
fouls.
pushed it though. In the beginning of the game, bro, they had like Jaylen Brown was in foul trouble. Marcus Smart's in foul trouble. Like they were like,
I just know
like
late in the game,
in
they
the
like that.
Dallas. Yeah.
I thought Marcus Smart was moving on that charge. They got the charge on him. Tatum blatantly
Yeah,
shoved
but that
off.
push off was definitely that was
Yeah,
definitely
that
a
I
push off.
thought
That was definitely
there was a couple. I was like, whoa, but
that charge was definitely a charge though.
all right. I'm gonna go with Boston. I have Boston in five. I'm gonna push it to six, obviously, because Sixers have already won two games. I'm gonna push it to Boston in six. I got a little bit of alarm bells for Boston in my head.
Except
Kings,
that
what do you got?
whatever.
I got Boston. It should be Boston in six.
Yes,
It
I
should
think.
be. Should be.
You
Should
got
be.
Boston. You said next two games, right, Jordan?
Yeah, Boston is six.
Are you guys at all? So you look at his whole body of work, team success is great. He's obviously a great player. Because Jason Tatum's up and down, so he's great. It's just the lows are so low when he does it. Does that concern you at all for the Celtics championship viability?
He's the wing version of Anthony Davis. Like, you know what I mean? And James, like, one of my mutuals was saying, Zach, he was like, you know, James Harden, Jason Tatum, and Anthony Davis in their group chat tweet, you know, talking about who's gonna play like a Hall of Famer today and who's gonna play like they should play on the Shanghai Sharks. Like, it's, you know, it's one of the two. It's one of the two for all three of them. Like, it's that's how Jason. I mean, and that's why I can't pick them to win a title. Like, if that's how your best player performs, you can't win a title. The thing with Anthony Davis is that he plays with LeBron James, you know.
Yeah, I'm
So,
about to say, yep.
I mean, like, he can that could be offset because LeBron James will pick you up in multiple aspects of the floor. Like, Jaylen Brown, like, if he's not scoring, he's not dominating the game. Like, that's just the bottom line, right? So, and if, you know what I mean? And the thing with James Harden is that he has Embiid. So it's like, you know, for the Celtics, if that's how Jason Tatum's gonna play, they're not winning the chip, bro. Like, it's just not possible.
He was phenomenal in the second half.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, like, but his play was directly, they were down 16, directly tied to how it, like, he missed his first eight shots, right? Yeah, so that was like, that was the only thing. But it's been a couple of games like that where he'll throw up a lot of, wild shooting night games, and he'll stabilize his numbers with a couple of crazy outlier, not outlier, crazy shooting performances. So he's a lot of feast of fame with him, but I definitely a superstar. I think the Suns have been in contention every year he's been there, except the year Jaylen Brown got hurt. They've been in contention every year, so like, there's something to be said about that. Like every year you play, your team is in contention to win a championship. So I can't knock the body of work thus far.
Absolutely.
Last series, disappointed, man. I was hoping the Knicks would be a little more competitive, but man.
Y'all should have listened to me all year, man.
Eric Spoelstra, man. First of all, you didn't like the Miami Heat all year, so you don't get to say that.
Well, I also said I would bet against the Knicks in any playoff series they were in. Cost me the first round, but
So the Miami Heat blow split one in New York, blow out Miami in game three. Randle continues to struggle. Jimmy continues to do Jimmy things. Spo is just
better coach.
Is have we seen anything like this? A guy just get me to the playoffs, and I will have us prepared for any series we were in.
Bro, like, it's literal people on the timeline tweeting, like, how the hell are Miami ready for the playoffs, regardless of who's playing? Like,
I want you to understand, like, they're already limited offensively, and then they lost a 20-point score in the first game of the playoffs.
It's almost it's so annoying that guys like Spo, guys like Larry Brown, they don't get to coach many all time. Like, Spo only had 4 years with that level of greatness. Was at the finals all four times, would have won three in a row. LeBron sold him short one time, injury sold got him the other time. But, like, you know, it's, bro, this is a guy who went 31-10 in the last 41 games, but was Hassan Whiteside and Deion Waiters and Goran Dragic. Like, it's crazy the level of production he gets out of anyone. And, like, his schemes are tailor-made for the other teams. Like, you're not winning the schematic advantage when you play the Miami
Heat.
You
right.
really just have to have better players, and they have to perform. Like, that's the only way you beat. Like, you're not winning the X's and O's battles against the Heat. Like, you've already lost. So it's just a crazy, because so many people say that coaching doesn't really matter that much in hoop, and so many people undersell what these guys do. And for a guy like Spo to show you that what you can do with a great coach, you know what I mean? And like, man, the Heat, man, like, salute to them. They're a tough team, man. They're
I just want to say, like, just they won this game. They won this game. Kevin Love, 1-for-5, 0-for-3 from three. Gabe Vincent, 1-for-8, 0-for-4 from three. Duncan Robinson, 1-for-6, 1-for-5 from three. Caleb Martin, 23 minutes, 0-for-3 from the field. They won the game by 19. Jimmy was just 9-for-21.
Well, the difference is, Jason, is that the Knicks just, they're not good. Like, they haven't been good all year. And, like, we knew they were going to get to the playoffs because we know they're going to play every regular season game, 82 games, like it's game seven.
Time out. So, can we rephrase? If you go 47-35, you're a good team.
They play harder than everybody in the regular season.
Is that not a trait of a good team?
Yeah, but in my opinion, they're an average team.
Say they're not okay. They're not talented. Not a great talent wise, but they're a good team.
Oh, they're a good regular season team.
Okay, I'll give you that. Okay,
yeah, I agree.
All Tibbs teams are good regular season teams.
That's
when,
true.
I mean, like, when your best player is a 5'11 point guard who struggles against length, like, that's what the Heat have. They have good length, right? And they put Jimmy on Brunson, and he can't do anything. He's stuck in quicksand. And then Julius Randle, I mean, Bam Adebayo's got him in shackles, dude. This isn't, like, he can't go. This was a terrible matchup. And honestly, the only matchup that was probably good for them was the Cavs, because Donovan Mitchell is, like, one of the worst players that everyone thinks is good. I don't understand why he shot.
Oh,
the
my
Jazz.
God, that is cap. Oh, those
he, shot, he shot the Jazz out of plenty of playoff series. Everyone's like, oh, he's going to Cleveland.
Oh, my
God. Here we
I
go.
I can't believe you just snuck that in there. Oh, my God. Go ahead. Go ahead, bro.
This was just it's a terrible matchup, man. I said all year I would fade the Knicks against any team in the playoffs. The Cavs cost me, but here we are, and the Knicks are underperforming to their regular season standards, and they're in a tough situation going forward because they're paying Julius Randle a lot of money. They're paying Jalen Brunson. Like, I don't know how they improve the roster, but the roster is just not that good, in my opinion.
Hey, you heard your boy Windhorst. 37% on the Heat, 3% on the Bucks, baby.
What did he say?
Windhorst say, you know, Knicks are keeping an eye on Giannis.
Get Giannis in OKC, please.
Okay, well, first of all, before we get out of here, you're not going to dismiss what Donovan Mitchell was doing in Utah. They were the number one seed. He was the only guy who could get his own shot off the dribble, so he had to take some shots that were questionable in the playoffs. So I don't do that.
So what's
don't
the excuse right this year?
Huh?
What's the excuse this year?
I told you same thing. When you have in the playoff setting, when you play two guys that can't shoot, and you can't, the Tibbs is telling those guys, if you watch, they didn't let Donovan Mitchell, he maybe got like five step back threes off in that series. Like, his patented shot. They're telling them to jam him because there's no space on the court. And make him drive into a crowded area. And he doesn't take the mid-range because of the Utah analytics or whatever. So there's no mid-range in this game, a very little mid-range in this game.
Donovan Mitchell is not that good, man.
I'm sorry. If he should have been.
When first. I say not that good, I mean in comparison to like the great players of the NBA. Like he's not on that level.
I've seen him do that. I'm pushing back on that. So, I'm pushing back on that.
What's he got to be like on a? If he's on a great team, he's probably a solid player.
Well, he was one of the reasons Utah was a great team.
Yeah, and Rudy Gobert's rim protection and their 3-point shooting.
Who created for those guys?
Mike Conley Jr.
Oh my God! Okay, here we go.
There's some truth to that one.
I don't believe in the rewriting the Donovan Mitchell. I feel like he's.
He's a great scoring guard.
Yeah, great scoring guard. That's a great way to put it.
A gamer, but yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, a top tier player in the league is not losing to this Knicks team 4-1, and it's not like he doesn't have talented teammates. You know what I mean, I get they have no wings, but I mean, how many wings do the Heat have outside of Jimmy Butler? You know what I'm saying? Like it's like, come on, bro. Like it's no real excuse for the way they lost to the Knicks. Like,
bro, Jason, the Cavs were like statistically they were the second best team all regular season.
And what? First of all, the Kings is a proponent of this since the Laker days when JaVale and AD. He used to scream. He screamed at Vogel the year they won the championship. He screamed at Vogel all season about keeping two bigs who can't shoot on the floor. It just doesn't work. In the playoffs, Vogel had to scrap it in the bubble, bro. JaVale started and played like 8 minutes.
It definitely didn't work, but like there's no way they should have lost in five games.
Did you, bro? Would you play Mobley and Allen together that long? You can't score in the half court. They're so easy to guard in the half court. You could throw all the stats out the window.
Scoring, they couldn't even stop the Knicks.
I just did. Tibbs is a good defensive, Tibbs is a great defensive coach. If you handicap yourself by playing two bigs who can't shoot, you make his job 100 times easier.
Yeah, I can't wait for Jared Allen to get traded to the Kings this offseason.
That was probably one of the best trades. That's a very, very even trade. Yeah, man, we'll see what happens. Knicks and seven, man. I'm calling my shot. Knicks and seven, man. Let's go. Knicks and seven.
No way they're winning the streak.
Knicks and seven.
You're crazy, bro.
Knicks and seven.
Jimmy's too good, bro.
Knicks and seven.
This series is over in five.
Make sure you follow RIP Kings, bro, on Twitter. Make sure you follow Jordan Rules TSP on Twitter. Make sure you follow myself, JJMabels55_MST. We will be back with the midweek episode this week, checking in with the playoff action. Shout out to P-Lo. For tapping in with us. He stayed 10 toes down, win or loss. I perfectly appreciate him sticking true to his word and taking his L like a man.
He's probably mad y'all didn't do the show after the Warriors won.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to my guy, by the way, P-Lo. Today's his birthday.
Shout out. I didn't even know.
Hey, I had to show my guy some love. Jordan, real quick before we get out of here, bets for tomorrow.
Lakers -3. Lock it up now before it moves to 4.
There we go. You guys be safe, and we are out of here.
Peace, y'all.